Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am thrilled because tonight we will be concluding with our study from the book of Matthew. And we know that this study expounds upon the teachings of Jesus Christ according to the gospel or good news of Matthew the apostle. It gives us a scenario of Jesus' life as described by one of his 12 apostles. Many new concepts are revealed in 28 chapters of this manuscript, and theologians agree that Matthew's version of events are written from a Jewish perspective, meaning from a viewpoint of Jewish learning tradition. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or even regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Thank you so very much. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour or this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he himself shall be with them and be their God. That's taken from Revelation chapter 21. Now, the promise is that God will be with us. He will make his tabernacle with us if we dwell accordingly. Now, Jesus said, blessed are these servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. That's Luke 12. Chapter 12, verse 37. The promise is that God will serve you if you're blessed as one of his servants and watch and be sure to respond to him when he returns. Jesus said through Apostle Paul, be ye not unequally yoked with non-believers, and the Father will receive you and be your Father, and you will be his sons and daughters. That's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or should say taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. Now, the promise is that you will be the sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty if you're not unequally yoked to non-believers. All right. So the question this hour is, again, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get started, I want all of you to know that the Bible is written in code. It's written, meaning mysteries, written in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. Now, let's go to the study. We are looking at the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 17 through 30. The book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 17 through 30. And the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you is the Passover meal declaration. That's what we're going to identify, my brothers and sisters, the Passover meal declaration. And this is what Matthew chapter 26, verse 17 through 20 or 30 says. Now, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the eve was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe unto that man of whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had been born, not born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth this fruit of the vine until this day when I drink it anew with my Father that is in heaven. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, this is telling us that what Jesus has done, he has converted the Passover meal that is done yearly by the Jews into a meal that identifies the body and blood that he gave and sacrificed for us on Mount Calvary. And this is so significant, my brothers and sisters, because in this particular book of Matthew, it does not say, do this in remembrance of me. But we know that is what we do. So that's something that I would like for you to keep in mind as we continue. Now let's go to the Old Testament complement, and we're going to see how it compares and agrees with what we just read. Meaning in the Old Testament, this is what the Jews have to do because of their captivity in Egypt that precluded the angel of death passing over them. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 21 through 28. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, verse 21 through 28. And we're going to see how this compares and agrees with what Jesus just did in his declaration. This is where it was established. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in blood, that it be in a basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his home until the morning. The Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood on the lintel and the side post, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite it. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to your sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according to he that has promised, that he shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, and he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. So you can see the connection that this was the original Passover, and this is where Jesus established a new covenant for us, and we will now continue after the break.
A man hit a target he could not see? That's a pretty good question. Here's another one. How can you hit a target you do not have? Have you got one? Are you a meaningful specific, or are you a wandering generality? People today complain of lack of time. It's not lack of time that's the problem, it's the lack of direction. Are you a wandering generality, or are you a meaningful specific? Are you going to work tomorrow because that's what you did yesterday? If that's the reason you're going tomorrow, you won't be as good tomorrow as you were yesterday, because you're 2 days older and no closer to the goal you do not have. Now, I got sense enough to know that some of those airplanes are coming down faster than they're going up. It's dangerous for that plane to fly. You see in the newspapers where the ships leave the harbor, and you see where some of them sink. It's dangerous for the ships to be on the ocean. And yet the engineers tell me that it's more dangerous for that plane to stay on the ground. That it will rust out faster than it will wear out up into the heavens. They tell me that that ship will collect more barnacles in the harbor and become unseaworthy faster than it will sailing the high seas. Besides, planes are built for flying. Ships are built for sailing. Houses are built for living. And man, too, was built for purpose. He was designed for accomplishment. He's engineered for success. He's endowed with the seeds of greatness. And the greatest danger we as human beings have is when we do not do anything at all. And I make this statement 40 times in my book, that you can get everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go again. Now what we're going to do is complete the thought on the Passover meal declaration. We already heard what Jesus declared and set up a new covenant, and we can see the connection in Exodus, where it was established for the Israelites. Now what we're going to do, I want you to understand that this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that remembering the body and blood of Jesus Christ is critical to our covenant with God forever. Again, my brothers and sisters, that remembering the body and blood of Jesus Christ is critical to our covenant with Jesus forever. And that's what I want you to understand from this declaration. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to look at one verse, verse 41 in Matthew 26. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read this one verse. This is significant. This is what the instruction is. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's the instruction, my brothers and sisters, that I want you to pay attention to. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this is what verse 41 says, verbatim, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That is so significant that Jesus has given us instructions on what to do in order to avoid the besetting of sin. Now what we're going to do is go to our Old Testament complement and see how in the book of Genesis, turn with me, if you will, your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 31, and we're going to look at verse 44 through 49, and this is what Genesis has to say about the similar or similarly. This is what it says in verse 44. Now therefore come thou, let us make a covenant, and I and thou, let it be for a witness between me and thee. This is what Laban did with Jacob. He made a covenant to watch between the two of them. This is what verse 45 says. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap. And they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Jegar-sahadubba. But Jacob called it Galaad. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and thee this day that we should watch over each other. Therefore, the name of it was called Galaad and Mizpah. For he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one for another. That is what the connection is, watching and praying for one another while we're absent from each other. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must observe the words of Jesus if we expect to overcome the world. We must observe the words of Jesus, my brothers and sisters, if we expect to overcome the world. Now let's go to instruction number 75. I want you to turn your Bibles with me back to Matthew. Back to Matthew chapter 26, back to Matthew chapter 26, verse 52 through 56. We're looking at instruction number 75, Matthew chapter 26. We're looking at verse 52 through 56. And this is the instruction I would like for you to keep in mind, my brothers and sisters, as I read the text to you. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And this is what Jesus had to say in Matthew 26, verse 52 through 56 about that. Then Jesus said unto him, put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In the same hour, Jesus said to the multitude, are ye come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with thee in the temple, and ye took me not. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets must be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. So this is at the end when Jesus was he was betrayed and was about to be taken. He told Peter at the time, because Peter is the one, in another gospel we'll learn more details about it, that took out the sword and struck one of the servants of the high priest. Anyway, the point is that he that lives by the sword will die by the sword. And that is something that Jesus established for us. We got to be careful when we are fighting with one another, because this could take on this, I would say, declaration that Jesus made to us about not doing that. And what we're going to do now is go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22, and we're going to see what the Old Testament has to say about it, comparing and agreeing. We're going to turn your Bibles with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5 through 8. And this is how it was said in 1 Chronicles. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, And the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparations for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly. There's where it comes in. He that lives by the sword shall die by the sword, and has made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. That is what God told David, because of him being a man of war, that because of the blood, there's life in the blood, that is not supposed to be spilt upon the earth. And that's why David could not build the house of the Lord, and Solomon, his son, had to do it. Now to more substantiate what I just gave you, turn with me quickly. We're going to go to the book of Numbers. We're going to go to the book of Numbers, chapter 35. Turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 35, and we're going to look at verse 33. And this more solidifies what I just shared with you about blood. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood is what defiles the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that sheds it. That's why Jesus made the proclamation, and they that shall take the sword shall perish with the sword. So we got to be very careful with this declaration from Jesus Christ, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the shedding of blood is not acceptable to God unless he demands it. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? That the shedding of blood is not acceptable to God unless he demands it or allows it. For example, medical purposes, personal defense, but we got to be careful because of the proposition that Jesus declared, that he that lives by the sword must die by the sword. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction, and after we finish the instruction, after we finish the break, we'll come back for more instruction.
You know, I don't do too many of these. I don't know who this is for type post, but I'm out here golfing. Sometimes I'll actually miss a shot, shank it a little bit, and it'll actually go closer to the hole. Then when I learn from my mistake and I hit it better, the actual results, the landing spot for the ball is not so good. So last time I did that, I said to myself, or perhaps the Spirit said to me, immediate results are not always evidence of progress, or progress is not always shown in the immediate results. So I don't know who this is for, but I just want to say, if you just started doing something right, don't be discouraged by the immediate results. If you just started dating correctly, don't be discouraged by the immediate results. If you just started praying fervently and without ceasing for something, you finally gave it to the Lord for once, don't be discouraged by the immediate results. Progress is happening, and it will show in the long run.
If someone were to ask you who is Denzel Washington, you would say, he's a great actor. I would say, no, that's what he does, but that's not who he is. If someone were to ask you who was Aretha Franklin, you would probably say she's a great singer. And again, I would say, no, that's what she did, but that's not who she was. Because we think that identity and activity are synonymous. There are many Americans right now that have lost their jobs, and for many, their identity was wrapped in what they did. And I want to encourage you and remind you that you are not a human doing, but a human being. Because your identity is not in what you do. It is in who he says you are. So I need for you to get up right now and remember everything he says about you right now. get up, and be. Let's go. Man, I want to say this humbly. Man, we got to stop sounding like broken records when we keep going to the Lord about the same thing, the same way, over and over and over again. It ain't really about the conversation and the time with God. We just want God to hurry up and fix it. But instead of God so busy wanting to fix it, a lot of times God is wanting to fix me. And so he will use it as the tool to fix me. So the thing that we're wanting him to remove and to deliver that we keep going over and over and over about, like he don't know. He knows. And he also knows it is the thing that gets you on your knees quicker. And so whatever pushes you to your knees is good. For his glory and for your good. Because he loves you.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are back at the lesson. Number 76 is the instruction we're at. And of course, I've only written 78 instructions for this episode, for this series of study. We know that there are 28 chapters in the book of Matthew, and we're closing in on the end. So this is exciting to me, and I hope it is as exciting to you. Verse 3 through 5, chapter 27, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Don't despair. Repent and be saved. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? Don't despair, but repent and be saved. And this is what Matthew 27, verse 3 through 5 says. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is it to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. So don't despair. The example is that Judas Iscariot despaired in the book of Matthew. And that is what we are supposed to not do. And this is the Old Testament compliment. Turn with me, if you will, with me to 2 Samuel, verse 16, 2 Samuel, chapter 16. 2 Samuel, chapter 16, we're going to be looking at verse 20 through 23, or 20, 21 and 23. This is what 2 Samuel, verse 16 says. That compares and agrees. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as a man had inquired at the oracle of God, so was the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. And now what we're going to conclude the thought, we're going to read chapter 17, verse 1 and verse 23, and this is what connects the dot. Verse 1 of chapter 17 says, moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And this is what verse 23 concludes and says, and this connects the dot. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the scepter of his fathers. The point is that don't despair. Repent and be saved. That is the key. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the body and blood Jesus shed on the cross gives us repentance, faithfulness, and salvation. So don't despair, my brothers and sisters. Ask and be forgiven. That is the instruction I'm trying to share with you on this particular lesson, that the blood, the body and blood of Jesus was shed on the cross to give us repentance, faithfulness, and salvation. So don't despair. Ask and be forgiven. Not as Ahithophel did in the Old Testament or Judas Iscariot did in the New Testament. Okay, let's go now to the next instruction, number 73. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 27. Turn your Bibles, your sources with me back to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to look at verse 15 through 25. Matthew chapter 27, verse 15 through 25. And this is the text that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text, or the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Who do you choose? My brothers and sisters out there listening, who do you choose? And this is what Matthew chapter 27, verse 15 through 25 says about that. And at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then taken notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So the governor answered and said unto them again, whether of twain will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Then Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail nothing, but that a turmoil was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. My brothers and sisters, this is called in the Jewish tradition the blood curse. And that is what is on all the Orthodox Jews today that are not a part of the Messianic Judaism, which believes that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that the blood curse, his blood be on us and on our children. So who do you choose? Now, that's how Jesus established it. Now, what we're going to do is go to the Old Testament, and we're going to see how it was established for Israel in the same vein. Turn with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 24. And we're going to be looking at verse 12 through 15, Joshua 24, chapter 24, verse 12 through 15. And this is what the text says. And I sent the hornet before you and drave them out before them, before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and of the olive yards, which ye planted, not do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the floods and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whom land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is the famous saying that Joshua told Israel. So who do you choose? That is the connection. Joshua says, as for me and my house, I shall serve the Lord. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my brothers and sisters, that you will he exalt by God to choose Jesus because God determined who comes to his son, that you will, he enabled by God to choose Jesus, because God determines who comes to his son. That's the instruction I want you to take from this example. Now let's go to the final instruction of this study, and it's going to be Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Turn with me again,
so,
back to your Bibles.
Peter, we have a question. Hallelujah. The question is, did Judas go to heaven or hell? Do you think he repented of betraying Jesus? That's the question.
The question is a very good question. Now, in the book of Matthew, it said that he hanged himself, even though he repented of his sin and was sorry for it. So if he hanged himself, then the question is not whether he went to heaven, but did God send him to hell or still forgive him? Now, when we go to the Gospel of Luke, I believe, or maybe it's Mark, it said, it didn't say that Judas hanged himself, but he did repent. So the point is, if he did repent, then that would have been good enough for Jesus Christ to give him the what he repented of and be saved. But because he hanged himself, that's the question. And again, the Gospels are split on that. And so that's the best answer I can give at this time, that the potential is that Judas did go to heaven, or he is in line to go to heaven after he is purged of his sins. I hope that answered your question. If you need more clarification, send me an email, and I'll get back with you and discuss it more. Okay.
All right.
Any others?
Nope, that was the only one right now.
Okay. So back to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. This is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as we look at Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18 to 20. And after the break, we'll continue.
Changing realities is the fact that there are always people around us who are fault finders. Those who seldom see the great or the good, but are quick to point out the negative. During his presidency, Abraham Lincoln was a man greatly respected, greatly reviled also. Blamed for plunging the nation into war, he was the president people loved to hate. Those who opposed his views regarding the war and slavery, as well as his efforts to keep the nation united, were vocal and uninhibited in denouncing him. In fact, one day during the darkest days in the Civil War and of his presidency, it was said that Lincoln was walking down a street near the Capitol in Washington when an acquaintance caught up with him. As they walked, the man brought up the subject of the growing anti-Lincoln sentiments flowing in Washington, as well as throughout the country. And with brutal honesty, the man related to Lincoln many of these stories outlining attacks on Lincoln and his policies. As the man spoke, Lincoln remained completely silent, absorbed in his own thoughts. Well, finally, the exasperated man asked, "Mr. Lincoln, haven't you heard me? Are you listening to me?" Well, Lincoln stopped, looked directly at him, and said, "Yes, I've heard you. But let me tell you a story. You know that during the time of the full moon, it's the habit of all the dogs to come out at night and bark and bark and bark at the moon. And this keeps on as long as the moon is clearly visible in the sky." At that point, Mr. Lincoln stopped speaking and continued his walk. Well, confused by Lincoln's response, his exasperated companion persisted, "Mr. Lincoln, you haven't finished your story. Tell me the rest of it." Once again, Lincoln stopped walking and said, there's nothing more to tell. The moon keeps right on shining, no matter how many dogs are barking or how loudly. So once again, Lincoln was a great role model for managing criticism. And he certainly was aware of his shortcomings. He knew that many highly respected, influential people disagreed with him. In fact, one of the highest members of his cabinet said to a friend of his one time, "Abraham Lincoln is a fool." Well, somebody told Lincoln about that, and the president stopped and thought for a moment again, and he said, "Well, he must be right, because I respected that man and still do. He's a great statesman. I must be a fool." How many of us?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go again. Now I would like to start off, I would like to make a reference, an extra reference that I thought of about the question that I received about Judas Iscariot either going to heaven or hell because of his repentance. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, Peter of the Apostles did make reference to Judas when they drew lots to replace Judas, and he said that Judas went to his own place. So a lot of theologians collectively say, because of what Peter said, that he did not or was not in line with going to heaven. So I just wanted to add that to you. But it is a split between the theologians in Christianity on whether or not his repentance was enough to get him into heaven. But if he hanged himself, then it's doubtful that he did. But if he didn't hang himself, as it said in another gospel, then it's possible that he did, because both gospels said that he repented himself. So anyway, I just wanted to add that in, that Peter made reference to him too. Okay, let's continue with the next instruction. This is instruction 78, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Turn your Bible sources with me there, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And a lot of us understand that is the Great Commission. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And this is what chapter 28, verse 18 through 20 says. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world." Amen. So that is the first of four commissions. If you read Mark and Luke and John, you'll get the other three. And that will add to the expansiveness of this proclamation that God or Jesus gave us as a commission. But "go ye therefore and teach all nations" is what we want to look at this evening. And let's go to Exodus. We're going to go to our Old Testament complement. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 7 and then 10 through 15 and see how God identified the same to Moses to go to let his people go in Israel. This is what God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. He said, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Then he completes it, the thought, in verse 10 through 15 by saying, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought them forth out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? And what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent thee unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. That's the connection. God sent Moses to free Israel, and now Jesus is sending us to similarly free the creation, the humanity, in the name of Christ. For Christ said, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's when God told Moses that he heard the afflictions of the people, and that he was giving Moses the power to go to Pharaoh to let them go. And now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. And after the break, we will continue.
When we're laying on our deathbed, you're not going to worry about how much money you had, how much power you had, how much prestige. You're going to see that that was all game, that that was all an illusion. The only thing that's going to matter is the impact you had on other people's lives.
We are all on a separate journey. But the beautiful thing about our life here on this earth is at my funeral, they ain't going to talk about my success. They're going to talk about who Nick was and how Nick lived and how Nick loved and encouraged.
Success is incredibly important, but even more important than success, it's having an impact. It's knowing you haven't walked the planet in vain. It's knowing that because you've been here, you've blessed lives. You've developed people. And you have made the world a better place.
The effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. Everything you gain in life will rot and fall apart. And all that will be left of you is what was in your heart.
Life is a mirror. And life gives us not what we want. Life gives us who we are. When you were born, you cried while the world rejoiced. Live your life in such a way that when you die, the world cries while you rejoice.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, when we left, the instruction said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And we read that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And we know that it is known as the Great Commission from the book of Matthew. And we also know that there are other three, there are four total. And we need to read all four to get the expansiveness, the volume of what that Great Commission entails. And we went to Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 10 through 15 to see how similarly God used Moses to go out to Pharaoh with his commission to let the people of Israel go. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God has created humanity to teach one another about him. We are our brother's keeper. Do you hear that, my brothers and sisters? This is for us. that God has created humanity, all of humanity, to teach one another about him. When he in the garden created man, he put him in the garden to mend or take care of the garden. So that's the significance of that. That's what I want you to understand from this instruction. Now what we're going to do with the concluding minutes that we have before we end this evening, I want to share with you, as I do from time to time, some exercises and drills. You know, at the beginning of the show, we went through the promises of Jesus or God. That's an exercise. Here's another exercise I'd like to share with you. This is, I'm giving you some prerequisites for being successful in Christianity. This is what is so significant to us, my precious brothers and sisters, that there is a prerequisite to receiving these points that I'm going to bring to mind. First is love. There's a prerequisite before you can get God's love. There's a prerequisite before you can get God's grace, God's faith. There's a prerequisite before you can get to for baptism. There's a prerequisite for being born again. There's a prerequisite for works. Now, those are the six that I want to identify. And again, before you can gain God's love, these are some of the things that you must respond to. This is what Deuteronomy says in chapter 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. That is the prerequisite to receive the benefits from God's love. You must love him with all. That's significant. And this is the compliment in Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says similarly. Jesus says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the other is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That is so significant, and that ties it together, that the prerequisite to receive God's love is that you must love him with all of what your being is. And now with grace, similarly, there is a prerequisite for grace. You just do not get grace automatically. And it tells us in the Old Testament, it gives us this saying. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then in Exodus chapter 33, verse 17, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Now, this tells us that grace is given to those that obey the Lord God Almighty. That's the prerequisite. You got to obey. Now, this was what the Old New Testament compliment adds in. It says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. So it's telling us that in order to receive this grace, we have to commit ourselves to God. And it's a free gift, but by faith we receive it. And that means we got to commit ourselves to God. Now for faith, again, faith is not free without a prerequisite. And this is what the Old Testament says about faith. It says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, behold, his soul which is lit up is not, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. If you want the faith, the prerequisite is you have to be just before God. And this is what the New Testament complement has to add with that. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is the prerequisite for faith. You hear that? The New Testament tells you that you got to believe that God is. And if you don't believe, then that you will not receive the reward of faith. That's a prerequisite. Baptism, the same way, there's a prerequisite for baptism. In Numbers chapter 8, verse 21, it tells us that, and the Levites were purified and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord. And Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. Now, the prerequisite for baptism is that you have to be as innocent as you can be in order to have your sins washed away. And this is what the New Testament says in complement to that. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 8, therefore we are buried with him, baptism into death, that like as Christ we are raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. So the prerequisite of baptism is that we have to rid ourselves of our worldly ways. That is the prerequisite for baptism to be effective. You can be baptized and it will not be effective. We know of a lot of Christians we see walking around today that have baptism, but it was not effective because they did not receive the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, or the indwelling, if you will. And that is the prerequisite to do that. You must forsake the world to receive that significance. Now, the next one is being born again. And we know what Jeremiah chapter 18, 4 says about being born again. This is the prerequisite. And the vessels that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. And what this is telling us is that to be born again, you have to be redone, if you will. You got to put away your old ways, just like in baptism. You got to free yourself from the worldliness in order for it to be effective. And in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So again, Peter is making reference to being not involved in worldliness. Our corruption has to remove itself in order for our being born again, having the indwelling of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to be effective. And the last one is works. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 12, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it, doeth not he that pondereth the heart consider it, and he that keepeth thy soul, doeth not he know it, and shall not he render to every man according to his works? That is key. Works are going to be held accountable. So if you want to be successful with God, remember what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12, I believe. He said that, what is the end of the conclusion of the matter? Fear God and keep his commandments, for God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So that's the prerequisite for good works, that you must make sure you're not worldly. And so the New Testament tells us, for the Son, it's Matthew chapter 16, verse 27 says, for the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Again, this is telling us that what we do in the flesh is going to be held accountable. So we want to make sure that our works are in line with our godliness. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, this is the end of this session. And what I'd like to say is that now that we've completed this lesson for this evening and we are about to sign off, the host and I would like to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
Okay, my brothers and sisters.